Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
And I'm Glenn McGee from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for February 11th, 2011, episode 75, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
I'm a horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. A horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. Some of my friends, they only have just one. They're in recovery, but I'm having all the fun. I'm a horse addict.
Hey, Jamie, are you ready for your road trip?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we're going on this road trip. We're driving to Northern California, basically. I was told it's like 8 or 9 hours. Now everybody's telling me 11 or 12 hours. What? Are you kidding
me? With the horse
trailer? Well, that's the thing. Apparently, in California, the speed limit, no matter what is posted, is 55 if you're pulling a trailer. 55.
Ah.
And they said you can go 65, 64 to be safe. I'm like, great.
When is the last time, Jamie, anybody in California went 55 miles an hour?
Well, my friend who pulls a trailer there to racetracks all the time has been, she's like, I get pulled over every single time because I cannot go 55 miles an hour. She's a hot blonde, though, with big boobs, and she never gets a ticket.
Yeah, okay, well, you're going to have to change a lot of things then if you want to not get your ticket.
Yeah.
You can smile pretty. You have a pretty smile.
I'm definitely none of the above, though. So, but we'll just see what we get. And, we are leaving after the show, about an hour after the show. We got to get everything ready. And we decided to camp. We're going to camp in the forest, the National Forest, up there on Saturday night. So it's going to be a good girls' weekend with horses and lots of driving. Woohoo.
Camping is something my wife and I gave up years ago. We just decided that... Our camping now, you better have a hotel room. We've had some miserable camping nights in tents with pouring down rain, everything soaked, inches of water. You know, we've just had our experiences camping. So now we don't anymore. Our camping in the future will involve a very nice motorhome if it ever happens again.
We're going to be camping in the Sierra National Forest on Saturday night, and I got to let you know, I ain't pitching no tent. I got a mattress in the trailer. I sleep in the trailer.
Well, let's get to Jennifer. Jennifer, tell us what's on the show today.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing over here. On today's show, it's Facebook to the Rescue with Jackie Smith, who is the person that lots of us have heard about who got 52 thoroughbreds adopted out by way of her Facebook page, and then Stuart.
Oh, no.
No.
We have to correct.
Sorry. Okay,
Jackie Smith adopted
two of the thoroughbreds.
That were on somebody else's page.
Yes.
Got it. Sorry.
Got it. Sorry.
On today's show, it's Facebook to the Rescue with Jackie Smith, who adopted two of the thoroughbreds that everybody's heard about.
There we go.
Adopted through Facebook. How's that?
Yay!
Stuart Pittman will be with us, advanced level event rider, on his retraining racehorses project that he's got going. It's very interesting. And then the Chronicle Report will be with us with the horse in sports, blank moment, horses in sports issue. There we go. And then it's going to be what's going on in Louisville at the MSEDA annual meeting. Phew.
It's Freetown Friday.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of everything going on today.
That's called a train wreck.
That's great.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to get Wayne back on here to pick the winner of the sign contest yesterday. We had 25 entries in the give us the name of your farm and why you named it that. Some really good ones, too. It's a really heartwarming ones, and it was really neat to hear. Almost everyone was different how they came up with the name of their farm or their ranch. And what we had 25 entries. What I've done is I've put them on an Excel file, and I have them all listed out here, and Wayne is going to come on the air with us here and pick a number. So so we're going to have him pick a number, and we're going to determine the winner that way. So let's get Wayne on. Hi, Wayne. Welcome to the show again.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning. Hey, so we had 25 entries. You know, it must have been interesting for you, the sign.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I said yesterday that I never knew the story behind why people call their farms what they do, and it was very interesting to read a lot of the sentences people wrote about, you know, where they came up with their farm name.
So we had 25, you know, people that applied basically to win the $100 gift card, and it is awesome to hear how people name their farms. You know, we had a really awesome story. You guys did. You, Glenn and Jennifer did. And it's really cool to hear how people did it. And it was like a little bit of inside knowledge. Like, you know, we have the tall oak tree, so it's Tall Oak Tree Farms. That kind of stuff
right.
was pretty cool. So what did you think about what you saw?
Yeah, I thought it was, like I was saying, I thought it was very interesting to see the stories behind a lot of the farm names out there. You know, I've been doing this for many years. And like I said yesterday, I come across a lot of these interesting farm names and wonder what the story is behind it. But a lot of people you know, gave up the ghost and said why they named their farm the way they did. It was very interesting to see.
Okay, I'm back. And just had a technical thing cut me off there. So I am back with the list. So, Wayne, if you will pick a number between 1 and 25, we will pick a winner for today.
Let's go with 16.
16 is Mary Ann Mermaid. Oh, you know, we talked about her before because of her name. She had Rise and Shine Ranch in tribute to my mother, who always greeted the day with such exuberance, and to the simple fact that having my dream of a horse farm inspires me to rise and smile, ready to meet today's challenges. Well, isn't that nice? So Mary Ann Mermaid is the winner, and you'll find her on Facebook, Wayne. You can give her you can drop her a note, and she is the winner of
a $100 gift certificate. Yes, $100 gift certificate. Good towards any sign purchase online.
All right, cool, and that's at EasySignsOnline.com, where you can find all of your farm sign needs. You can get little stall nameplates. You can get engraved signs. You can get magnets for your truck, you know, all kinds of different stuff there at EasySignsOnline.com. Thank you so much, Wayne, for putting this together for us.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
and that's Wayne from EasySignsOnline. Boy, your picture, I don't know if you talked about this while it was gone, but the picture you took got a lot of comments of your farm sign with that sky in the background.
Isn't that cool? It's so cool, and I wanted to let Wayne know before we let him go, but too late now, that I did get the caps I had to order. Afterwards, I realized I didn't order any caps for the edge of the sign, and those are great. And we also had, and buy, if you're going to get a sign from Wayne, you definitely want to buy the sign putting up kit, because we had 40 to 50 mile an hour gusts of wind here last week, and the sign did not budge. It did not budge. It was awesome. So,
cool.
It's a good
cool.
idea.
That's neat. Well, I noticed he put your sign on his homepage at EasySignsOnline.com.
Oh,
yeah, it's now one of the pictures on the homepage, and it looks beautiful. That really was a good picture you took. So that's good. And let's see here. What else we got? We got a lot of guests. We have four guests today, so we're going to be busy. And we've already had it. It's like a Friday. I get cut off, and Jennifer's just having trouble spitting the words out. So that's typical of Freestyle Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll screw up here soon enough. I'll screw up here soon enough, and then it'll be fine. We'll all be
all right, let's do our daily Winnie. And today's daily Winnie goes out to Elizabeth McMillan of Equestrian Professional. She posted on her Facebook page yesterday, and she said, "How is it that town shoes turn into barn shoes so darn quickly?" And boy, isn't that true.
Oh, my gosh. That is the honest-to-God truth. How many times have you worn, like right now, my problem is I wear my slippers outside, and then they just are trashed. But, you know, you can say that about any style of clothing out at a barn. I mean, because I have barn jeans, and I have non-barn jeans. And the non-barn jeans are the ones that you actually pay for all the holes that they put in them. And those never, they always make it out to the barn.
I have the same problem. I have my good pair of sneakers that I wear, you know, out and about. And I have my old pair of sneakers. And then I rotate them about every 6 months. Or sooner, like after a week, if I go, oh, I'm just going to ride out to the barn with Jennifer and watch her ride. And then it's muddy. And then all of a sudden I'm grooming the horse. And now my good sneakers become a second pair of old sneakers, and now I have to buy a new pair of sneakers. So I understand exactly how that works. And it's, you know, you're right. It works the same way with clothing. I'm going to wear my new jeans because, you know, we're going to go out after the barn, and I won't get them dirty. You know, you're never going to get them dirty.
No, definitely not.
What's the most expensive thing you've trashed? Have you ever worn, like, a skirt or a dress to the barn and then said, oh, I'll just do this real quick, and then you trashed it?
You know, I would love to say that I have very expensive clothing that I could have messed up, but really I can't because I don't really have any expensive clothes. Now, what I did do the other day, by the way, I got to tell you this story right after I tell you the story of the nastiest thing I did, which yesterday – my farrier came, and I had to pull the bandage off of my horse's potential abscessed foot, and I got ichthyol all in my engagement ring.
Ooh.
like nasty ichthyol, that black tarry stuff stuck all around, you know, the diamond and everything. So that was potentially bad, but it worked out okay.
Scrubbing and cleaning last night?
Oh, yes, before Chad got home, because he already goes, you're getting it so dirty. It's so dirty. But, you know, it's the one nice thing I have, so I should keep it a little bit better. But what about you? What's the one thing you've done?
Oh, I don't know. We've trashed so many clothes over the years. You know, we finally, when we had our big farm, we finally went to getting coveralls, because then it didn't matter what you wore underneath, and it was the only way we could protect our clothes. That was just it.
Yeah.
I mean, coveralls were the only saving grace that we had.
For you, Glenn, I think it was cumulative. I don't know that – I don't remember you ever trashing a specific expensive piece of clothing except maybe a jacket, but that's just because you buy expensive jackets. It's cumulative. The number of pairs of sneakers that have gone from 1 week old to barn sneaker, I can't tell you.
Quickly.
Good thing I don't buy expensive sneakers. Well, speaking of getting things, our first guest up here, which you're going to introduce in a minute, has gotten two new things.
Yeah, she did. You know, it's awesome when the Facebook post goes out that 52 Thoroughbreds, I mean, everybody saw it. Everybody got that email if you're a horse person, because everybody sent it to me that doesn't even have horses going, you got to help, what can we do? And so everybody saw that post, 52 horses need homes, the owner died, the son's going to sell them to the auction, you know, and auction them off, and you know what that means usually. So, you know, people banded together. The woman that was adopting them out said she got over 3,000 phone calls, and one of the phone calls that she got was from a little angel up in Ohio named Jackie Smith, who took not one, but two of the Facebook horses. So let's say good morning to Jackie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine, thank you. How about you guys?
Well, I think I'm in Phoenix, and I think I'm a little warmer than you guys are looking at your blog post because, you know, Jackie actually has made, well, her horses, Jack and Jill, have their own blog, which I've been following along with every single day, and I can tell that they're freezing in the snow and -2, I think it was.
It was actually -4 yesterday morning, but the sun was shining and there was no wind.
Oh, Lord, that's
cold. Important.
That's a good thing.
So tell us, let's start from the beginning, Jackie. How did you get these horses? You saw the post? Did you call? Did somebody send it to you? How did this happen?
Someone forwarded the email to me, and Monday morning, like usual, I just go into my emails, and I'm starting to read this. And when I saw where they were located in Barnesville, Ohio, I thought, oh, my gosh, that's got to be Doc Stearns' horses. And so I immediately got on the phone, and I must have been one of the earlier ones up in the morning that I was one of the first ones to call her. And, yes, it was Doc. And years ago when I used to work at Lake Erie College, Doc was my veterinarian up there, and he was just a wonderful man, wonderful horseman. And but it's kind of funny, though, he did his farm calls in a Cadillac, which I thought was really classy. But then anyway, I digress. But anyway, I since left there many years ago. But after I left there, I bought two nice horses from him that were by the stallion called a Combat, who sired the eventing horse Comic Relief, who in the 80s was Horse of the Year through the USEA. So, you know, although he bred quality racehorses, they were just plain quality horses. And then I had bred a mare to one of his stallions. And so, you know, we went back a long way. And for some reason, I'm usually the type of person that says, oh, isn't that too bad? Forward it on to somebody else and hope for the best. But because of this connection with Doc, I just felt like I had to get in my car and go down there and take a look. So that Monday morning, my son and I drove down the 2 hours, and because it was a sunny day then, but we were expecting an ice storm later in the week, and thought we needed to get down there as quickly as possible. So we got down there.
Did you take your trailer?
No, because both my son and I had to be back to do lessons, and it just, the time frame wasn't going to work. And my husband said, Jackie, that truck gets 8 miles to the gallon. What if you don't bring anything back? He goes, you can always go back later and pick them up. So it's like, okay, we'll do that. So anyway, when we got there, there was a flurry of activity. There was, you know, the Bob, the barn manager, his wife, and then there was a woman there from one of the local horse rescues. And so anyway, I told Bob we were there to look at the three-year-olds. So he took us to another farm, which was just, you know, a couple miles down the road. And we go into this pasture of seven youngsters, and it was like going into a pen of puppies because they were, like, all over us. They were so cute. and they were in our pockets. And we had a clipboard with the mare's names, and then they had marked all the horses with different colored paint to identify them. And I knew that when I was talking with Lynn that her mare, one of her three-year-olds, was in that bunch, and I was kind of looking for her because that mare had won 12 races, had 74 starts, and I thought, oh, my goodness, a mare like that had to be, number one, an athlete, number two, have a lot of heart, and number three, be very sound. So I thought, well, right, that's one we've got to look for. And then someone also told me that any of the French Legionnaire lines produced nice dressage horses and event horses, and there were two mares on the list that had Legionnaire in their name. Well, trying to find the one with the pink on the left shoulder or the green on the left hip while you're being mauled by these horses, it was like, oh, my gosh. And, I mean, you wanted to take them all. You wanted to take them all, you know. So my son picked up the filly that just happened to be out of Lynn's mare, and then I picked a colt that was out of a mare called Super Legionnaire, who is then a grandson of this French Legionnaire who people told me to look at. And then that was it, but then the ice came, and we had horrible weather. Our driveway was a sheet of ice. It's really hilly down there. My truck doesn't have four-wheel drive. I said, please, I promise, I'm going to come back and get them at the end of the week. I called him, Bob, and said, you know, I am still coming. You know, don't give them to anybody else. his wife called. He must have been so overwhelmed because he didn't remember that I'd called. And are you still coming to get these two horses? And by the time we got them on Friday, they were the last two there.
Aww.
And yeah, and they had moved them down to another farm, so they at least had been in the trailer once before we got them. And then so I'm in the office talking to Bob. My son was back in turning the trailer around, and one of the farm hands, went to help him. And a few minutes later, he comes in, and Bob says, "So are they loaded?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "You've got these horses in the trailer already?" And we have a slant load trailer, and we took the partitions out and the backpack, so it was basically like a stock trailer. And Kyle said that the filly, it was nervous, but she went right in. And then when the colt went to go in, he put one foot on the trailer because it was a step up. And the filly turned around to look at him, and then he needed just a little encouragement, and then he popped right in. And so then Bob says, they're standing out there quiet. You better get going. And then all of a sudden we hit a little, blah, 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 blah. And I think it was Jack turning around at that point. So, here's two unbroke three-year-olds on, their second trailer ride. Their first one was all of a mile and a half long, and never heard a peep out of them the whole way home. So we get
wow.
home. My husband comes to greet us. He, by the way, is the one who named them. And it was so funny. He's listening to me I'm going back to the first day. He's listening to me on the phone, and I'm thinking, oh my God, he's here. He's hearing all this. What is he going to say? And all he said, he goes, "Well, if you're going to go, you better go now." He says,
aww.
He says, yeah. And so then he called us to see how it was going, and I told him we got a colt and a filly. And then he goes, they've got a name. It's Jack and Jill. And so I figured since he didn't have a big hissy fit about all this, the names were going to stick. I wasn't wild about it, but the names are going to stick. And then he jokingly the other day, there was a commercial on how all these Valentine's commercials are on, for diamonds and all this stuff. He goes, "Oh, I've already got your Valentine's present all taken care of." And he said, "I let you get those two horses." I said, "Dave, you didn't let me get anything." He goes, "Yeah, I know." He goes, "But you got to admit they're better than diamonds." And I said, "Oh, yeah, you got to admit they're better than diamonds."
Yeah, you know what, Jackie, I've used that line too. So how long have you been there?
27 years.
Oh, see, he's been around long enough to know you can't fight it. You just have
No. But then it's funny because, he's the only one in the family that doesn't ride, but he is a veterinarian, so he is involved with horses,
yeah.
And he's intimately involved with the farm. But he came out, first thing, he grabbed one of them, unloaded her, and it's like, I was only going to take one because we only had one empty stall. And,
yeah,
and Bob's
right.
going. Bob's going. Goes, "Well, you gotta take more than one." Because at the time, I was the first one looking at the horses. They didn't know how quickly they were gonna be snatched up, And I'm looking around, and they had a big turnout shed. And I said, "So these horses have been living like this for a while?" And he goes, "Yeah, all their life." And I said, "Well, I have a really nice turnout stall." I said, "I suppose they could, they could stay out, and it wouldn't be a problem." And it's like, so here we've got, more horses than we have stalls for, which is, not unusual. But anyway,
amen.
So the first night that they were out all night, the dogs started barking a little after midnight. And the dogs do alert us when there's something wrong, but it wasn't that bark. I could recognize that bark. He goes, "You better go check on the horses. You better go check on the horses." So Kyle goes out at 12:15. The two horses look at him. It's like, "You woke us up. What are you doing?" Then the next morning, the dogs start barking about 6:30 in the morning. My husband runs out to check on him. They're going like, "God, we were sleeping. Leave us alone." It's like, so yeah, even though, he's not the horse guy, he is a big softie.
Yeah, sounds great. What a sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do want to.
I love the picture, by the way, on your blog of that hanging out together where they're both in the stall.
Yeah.
That's a great picture. Do you mind if I use that for our show notes today?
Oh, no, not at all. Feel free.
Okay.
Feel free.
Okay. That's a great tip.
I got to tell you, they are just, people are thanking me for taking them, and I'm the one that's lucky to have them. They are the sweetest horses I've ever had. Although Jack, if you read the blog, he does tend to be a little curious, and he does get himself into a little bit of trouble. But he's great. But yesterday I went for a walk and they followed me. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't go through the fence and around like I usually do because now they might try to follow me. So I walked around the perimeter of the pasture and they would trot past me and then they'd stop and then they'd trot past me and then they'd stop and then they'd look around going like, oh, wow, look at this, you know. So I haven't had a youngster in the area in the barn for a while, and to have the two of them together, they're just a lot of fun. But I must,
I want to get on.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to know, we'll get into what you plan to do with them, because I saw on your blog what you plan to do. But just tell us, going out there, what was the condition of the place you went? Because what I got in my mind was this horrible, dark, dank, you know.
Oh, no. I mean, it is an older place. It did need some farm maintenance. These horses were all in good flesh. And you can tell just by looking at them, even with all the woolly bullies and the long manes and the dreadlocks and all that sort of stuff. I mean, they had nice conformation. They were substantial horses. I mean, like I said, though, I only saw the one pasture of the colts. We were on a time schedule, and I didn't have a chance to go look at everything else. These horses were well taken care of. And when Bob and I were talking on the last day, he was finally, you know, that was the end of the week, the last two were going, he could take a breath, you know. He said, there was never any danger of these horses being abandoned, you know. He said, you know, even though we weren't on the payroll anymore, he said, we've got 1,000 bales of hay, we've got a lot of grain, you know, we would have taken care of these horses until everyone was taken care of. He'd worked for Doc for 30 years. I mean, he was just that's what you do, you know. And then I kind of wanted to touch on a little bit about, you know, the horse rescues and all this sort of stuff. There were two horse rescues that did come in and help place them. One was Drafty Barn Rescue, and then the other one was Dream Catching Meadows. They did help place the horses because, you know, that's a lot. A lot of the horses that were currently on the track went to trainers that knew Doc, you know, and then the rest went to, like, people like me. This was just such a story because there were so many horses at one time, and there are a lot of horses out there that need homes. Mm-hmm. But I do have to caution that they're not like bringing home a puppy. I mean, you know, they are expensive. You do need how to handle them. And that was what was a little tricky with this situation is they were thoroughbreds, you know. They're not quiet, you know, quarter horses, you know. You do have to know how to handle horses and stuff like that. But even if you can't adopt one, you know, find a rescue that you like, do your research, and, you know, volunteer or make contributions. One of my favorite ones, and it's not a rescue per se, is Cantor. Nancy Cook, who is kind of in charge of the whole thing, you know, they do a really good job of making connections with the trainers on the track and getting these thoroughbreds before they break down and helping them connect with, you know, owners for second careers. So, I mean, it's a whole big story, and I'm just one part of it.
Well, you know, we've actually had Cantor on here. We've had Rerun on here. We're big fans of the horse rescue community. So we really do appreciate what you did. And unfortunately, we're running out of time.
Okay,
maybe I could talk about you forever. But good luck. I know you said you're going to do some future event horse stuff with them, I guess, in March?
May at our spring horse trials. Yeah, one of my clients had a youngster, and she was trying to get me to add the future event horse classes to our event in the spring. And I've been kind of dragging my feet, and I thought, well, geez, I've got these 2 3-year-olds now, and I won't have to take them anywhere, and that'll keep me motivated, you know, to, you know, keep their manes trimmed and handle them more and give them something to aim for. So, and then since I posted that on Facebook, actually, we've got quite a few youngsters that are planning on coming to this show. So, first things first, the snow has to melt. I mean, we haven't really been able to see them move that much because when they go to trot in the snow, they're going through, and they're in about 9 inches of snow with a crunchy layer of ice. So they're doing interesting movement with their hocks, but they look like they're going to be nice movers. So we're looking forward to spring where we can start to get a little serious with them and see what they can do. And we kind of listen to them and let us where, what direction they want to go. But if you live on our farm, eventing is usually the direction they go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Jackie, what's your website? And then we got to say goodbye.
Our home website is stonegatefarm.org, but their blog site is, and it's called The Adventures of Jack and Jill, is stonegatefarm-adventuresofjackandjill.blogspot.com.
Actually, Adventures of Jack Jill, not Jack and Jill. So
you're
right,
Jack
right
Jill. Yep, you
and
got
we'll
it.
Put that in our, we'll put that in our show notes as well.
Yeah, I keep waiting to be able to slow down on this a little bit, but there's always something going on.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you letting
us tell a story about Jack and Jill, and we'll look forward to listening to your show in the future.
Well, thank you, Jackie, so much. Thank you for doing what you did.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yay, Jackie! Awesome.
That is in the business what's called an easy interview.
Yeah. No kidding.
Ask one question and you're good to go. She was terrific. Well, this half hour is sponsored by, actually this whole show is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. When horsemen were asked what they were looking for in a nutritional supplement for their horses, the answer was easy. One that is affordable, effective, and scientifically proven. Kentucky Performance Products took that message to heart and developed supplements that meet those needs. All of their supplements, from Maalox equine acid to Summer Games electrolytes, which we hope we'll need soon, and Joint Armor, are formulated based on sound research. They are affordable, and you can count on them to deliver results. To choose the right Kentucky Performance Products supplement for your horse, go to kppusa.com or give them a call at 1-800-772-1988. And to learn more about horse nutrition and interact with the experts at KPP, join their Facebook page. She puts a lot of great information on there. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products on Facebook. Yeah, she was terrific. She was a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh. What a cool thing to do, too, and to have such a connection and know the person from your college days. I mean, that's fantastic. I'm so glad she did that. And, you know, we're kind of keeping with a theme here, Glenn, actually, as far as racehorses go and rescuing racehorses. I know I've posted many videos of my rescue racehorse coming kind of back from the dead, really, and now he's doing some grid work and he's jumping some gymnastics, and that's what can happen. If you just have enough patience and you have the experience to go out there, and our next guest has more experience doing this than anybody around. He is a steward. I'm trying to figure out, you're kind of a pioneer for the rescue racehorse. Tell us about your retired racehorse training project. I'm so excited about it. First of all, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I don't know. I know I'm not the person who has the most experience because I'm not as old as some other people who have been doing this all their lives. a whole bunch of them. And I'm not even really a pioneer. The Retired Racehorse Training Project is different. It's a new concept, but people have been training horses off of the track and using them for fox hunting and showing and eventing and just about everything, polo, barrel racing, for, you know, since before I was born. And they used to do more of it than they do now because there are more breeds imported from other countries. There are just more breeds competing to be sport horses. So some people have forgotten about the good old thoroughbred and how easy they are to work with after they come off the track. Not for everybody, but for a lot of us.
Stuart, after we give you a great title like that, you can use it, you know.
Okay, I will. Okay, well, I'll let other people use it.
After reading your website, Stuart, you have a whole section on retired racehorses, and I love exactly what you said. You said in the fall of 1996, you picked up 4 racehorses from Delaware Park, and the next spring they were eventing, and the next year they're going to One Stars and doing intermediate, and that just doesn't happen in a normal situation. So tell us, how was that possible?
Well, it actually happens all the time in the world of three-day eventing, and it happens especially by the young people who are trying to prove themselves and become professionals because they don't have a lot of money to buy horses, and nobody's going to send them horses in training because they haven't proven themselves. So they go to the track and they pick up horses, and they end up competing at the upper levels, and they sell them, and they end up putting themselves in business that way, and that's exactly what I did. I was able to train enough horses and sell them, make them successful, that I was able to convince my wife that I could quit my real job and do horses for a living. And I've been doing it ever since. And I've done it with horses off the track as well as breeding and other breeds. But it's possible to take a horse, a four-year-old, say, or a five-year-old, or off of the track and within a year have it competing at training level, in some cases even preliminary level eventing, which is pretty significant stuff, because they've been exposed to so much, because at the track – they're not afraid of much. They've dealt with the paddock. They've dealt with going down the home stretch, people screaming and shouting in the winner's circle, hopefully. And they've been physically fit. They go forward. There are a lot of other things that they need to learn, but that basic training by professionals at racetracks is really a pretty good foundation for a sport horse if the rider is willing to accept what the horse already knows and work with it on those terms. So it's not that unusual, and people need to be reminded of it, and they need to be reminded what value there is out there and what quality there is out there at the racetracks, and that's part of what this organization is designed to do. We're hopefully about to receive, we applied a year ago with the IRS for a 501c3 as a charitable organization so that we can raise some money to do some of the bigger things that we have planned. And we have a website, but we have a brand new website that's being worked on now. It'll be up in about 6 weeks at retiredracehorsetraining.org. It's educational and promotional. We're promoting the concept that's been around for a long time, reminding people how great horses are off the track, but also working to educate people about how good a rider you need to be, what skills you need to have, what direction you need to go in your riding. It's similar to other, you know, to horse sports, hunter, jumper, equitation, but there's a lot that we can learn from exercise riders and jockeys about how to ride a horse, and we're trying to convey some of that to people. And to create a network online, we've got a directory so far of over 100 trainers around the country who take horses off the track and will train them, both for other people and for themselves to sell. And that's going to expand a lot. These are people who are in the business, making a living. They're not nonprofits. They're for profit. Although not many of them make a profit. Who need to be promoted because there are people you can go to get help with horses off the track. So we'll have a trainer directory. We'll have a classifieds of horses off the track. We'll have blogs and training videos and things on there. And we're going to have a place where a bloodline brag, where you can put your retired racehorse up with its pedigree, information about its performance record and what it does, so that people can search by pedigree to find.
I love it. It's a bloodline brag.
Bloodline brag. Yep.
That's awesome.
And you can. And you can see too what your horse's brothers and sisters and half brothers and half sisters are doing as well, and see if you have a connection. I mean, you never know if you're at an event and you're stabled next to somebody, your horse could be related to each other with the world of thoroughbreds and how they work. So that's cool.
Exactly.
I wanted to ask you, how do you recommend, Stuart, that people go about finding that special thoroughbred?
Well, get on the computer these days. There are great nonprofit organizations that are listing horses and placing horses. Cantor has affiliates throughout the country. Just go to Cantor online, and they have sites where they have horses that have come off the track in some locations, and in others, they simply go to the track and they take pictures of horses that trainers want to unload, and they do descriptions. So you look through those and you start shopping, and then you go directly. They give you the phone numbers of the trainers or the owners, and you go look at the horses. Some people have a good enough eye to be able to pick out quality horses right at the racetrack. When you go to the track, you can't do much with them. You watch them jog. Sometimes you can watch them gallop in the morning if you get there at the right time, schedule it. You can go in their stalls and get a sense of them. But you can't ride at the track. You can't, you know, ride the horse because you're not licensed as an exercise rider. So there's a lot that you don't see. So you're taking a risk, but it's often not a bad risk. But you go to some of these nonprofits, and they have them on their farms, on their facilities, and you can try them. Some of them have had some training. And you can go to people who do it for a business and buy from them, and they'll have, of course, added some money onto the initial purchase price for the work that they've done. But it helps to have, if you're not a professional who's done a lot of it, it helps to have somebody who you trust to advise you. But start online and start spreading the word. Once people at the track know that that you're looking for horses, you'll start getting calls out of the woodwork because these trainers are really desperate. When they know that the horse isn't going to run anymore, isn't going to continue to make money, they want nothing in the world more than to find it a good home. And that's why somebody is giving horses away. I've seen people break down and cry when you didn't buy their, when you didn't take their horse because they're so desperate to get the horse a good home. So the good people out there and online, Canner is the most best known. There's one near us in Maryland called Thoroughbred Placement and Rescue. There's Rerun in up in New Jersey and New York, which is a great nonprofit that places a lot of horses. And you can actually call the track, and somebody there will tell you if there's a nonprofit or a group that is identifying horses that are coming off the track.
So it sounds like, from your point of view, as a professional who's dealt with lots and lots of X-race horses, for those of us who have less experience, it makes sense to go through a reputable rehoming agency versus going straight to the racetrack and looking at horses still in training. Could you give us a couple of red flags that those of us with less experience should probably look out for when we are looking at, especially if we're looking right at the racetrack? Are there anything that you walk into the shed row of the barn, anything that if you see these behavior patterns or these types of sales pitches, you should probably turn around and walk the other way?
Well, and I agree. It is good to go to a rehoming type agency, except that's a small percentage of the horses, and a lot of it is done through other kinds of networks, through trainers who know a lot of four horse trainers.
Yeah, because I know that.
Yeah, anybody. It doesn't necessarily have to be a nonprofit. It can be anybody you know who does this. But when you go to the track, if you're smart, you have looked up already the race record of the horse, so you know whether it's been running consistently and for how long. You can look and see if there was a big gap, and you can ask questions about why the horse wasn't running, and you can ask questions about soundness. Obviously, there are a lot of soundness issues. These are young horses who are worked very hard. Nothing is tougher than racing on a horse's legs. So if it held up well to racing, chances are they're going to hold up to anything else you might do with them. If they've got some injuries, most of those injuries will heal because they're young horses and you give them time. Some of those injuries, joints that have lost cartilage and the horse is just going on injections of its joints, those joints are probably not going to get better. Fractures heal, tendons and ligaments heal even. When you go, you look at their legs. You listen to everything that they say. You ask a lot of questions, but you don't really believe any of it.
I always used to say that if they tell you it's a gelding look.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's not just, you get to know people or some are more honest than others, but they're desperate to get rid of the horse. So, people will sometimes say things or cover things up. I look at, more than anything, the look in the horse's eye and its basic overall conformation to see whether I think it's appropriate for the discipline that I want to do with it.
That's because you're an advanced level event rider and you know.
Right, yeah. You see enough horses and you just have a sense. And sometimes it's hard to explain. I like uphill. I like withers that are a little higher than the croup or at least as high and the neck coming up out of the withers as opposed to a more downhill kind of a, a cow type of conformation.
Although the uphill gorgeous build is for naught if it's a flipper.
Right. Well,
and
yeah.
for somebody who knows nothing about racehorses, and somebody mentions that the horse is, quote, a flipper, if they're not familiar with parlance, they might not realize that that is a really big issue, or a horse that's lost his gate card. Is there a place where people can get information about what to look for? And that, because the racetrack world has its own language and its own culture, then if you've never been exposed to it, you might be getting really valid information that's important to whether or not you should take this horse. But if you don't understand the lingo, you might not realize how important that information is.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that where taking along somebody with some backside experience would be a good idea?
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, nobody who's completely ignorant of the racetrack world should be shopping at the track. You need to know a little bit, so you really need to find somebody to go with you who understands some of it. I bought one horse that I had gone to the track, Delaware Park, and I was picking up a horse, and somebody came around the side of the barn and said, I got another one that looks just like that. Come take a look. So I did. And I had my trailer there, and, you know, I had my checkbook there, and they pulled this horse out. It had raced about a week before that and hadn't been out of its stall since, I found out. And it came out of the stall, breathing fire, and I jumped out of the way so I wouldn't get run over. I mean, the thing was absolutely wild. But I liked the way it looked, and so I went ahead and, you know, they gave it a shot of Ace and stuck it on the trailer, and I took it home, and it was springtime, and I didn't even drive to the barn. I stopped at the gate of the field before the barn, opened it up, stuck the horse in the field, and it just took a great big deep breath, put its head down, and started eating clover. And
aww,
that was one of the quietest horses I ever had, and one of the best horses. You know, when they're pumped up, life at the track doesn't always agree with some horses, so they'll fool you. You know, sometimes they change when they get off the track. But the quiet ones tend to be quiet ones, and when you hear stories about how quiet they are, they tend to be true. And if you can watch them work and watch them being ridden out to the track and back, you know, you do get some sense. But they're all broke. They're all ridden every day. So unlike a horse that you buy from a breeder out of a field, you know that this horse will go forward and will turn, maybe not all that well, but you know, your chances are pretty good of having something rideable. And then there are the ones that just never settle, and they never work for the discipline that you're trying to do with them. But you haven't invested much, so they're worth a shot.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Stuart, you say most of them are broke. There's definitely that section, that population of the track that aren't, because I was an exercise rider at Keeneland, and I'm going to tell you what, some of them suckers were not broke. They were young and everything like that, but yeah, definitely had some exciting rides going around the track.
Right, right.
I could probably pick your brains on this for the next 6 months. What is would you say, the number one under-saddle mistake people make when they get a horse that their only riding experience has been as a racehorse? They bring it home and they want to start resooling it in whatever discipline, and they put the tack on and they get on his back. What's the thing that you see people doing most commonly that is going to be contrary to the horse's current training?
Leaning back and pulling.
Uh-huh.
This is my biggest, I mean, this is what I talk about when I teach more than anything else. There's a middle of the horse, a balance point over the stirrup bars of the saddle. And so many people are taught that they should lean back to pull, so that they use their shoulders and the leverage of their weight to pull on the horse's mouth, and that puts them behind the middle of the horse, behind the stirrup bars. So what happens? The horse drops his back, and its head goes up in the air to defend itself, and then often it bolts. So you don't see exercise riders slowing horses down at the track, sitting on their backs, pulling. You see them staying balanced over their feet, bridging their reins. Sometimes they use some weight for leverage, But that's the biggest thing is that the horse needs to try. The horse has been ridden by professionals who are very well balanced over the middle of them. When we get on, we need to stay balanced over our feet. So that means being very light with your seat and having the balance, the skills to stay there so that the horse doesn't become scared and defensive. Every time it goes forward. I compare it to skiing or surfing. Nobody would ever dream that you could even participate in those sports if you couldn't stay balanced over your feet. But why do we get on a horse and think we can just sit there like we're in a chair and be carried around? No, we have to balance over our feet, especially if it's a racehorse. You know, get on a big old plow horse and sit there and you're fine. But a hot horse, a horse that's got a real engine and that is sensitive, needs a tactful rider, and the beginning of the tact comes from being balanced over the feet and staying there. And then keeping the hands low, you know, if you rode at the track, I'm sure that you learned quickly that you don't raise your hands up to pull.
No way.
That's a biggie. Yeah. No way. Yeah, that's a biggie. And a friend of mine who takes care of my horse spent some time as an exercise rider, and that's something she has to harp on me when I occasionally get on her X-racers, now mind you, only the quiet ones. I want to bring my hands up, lovely straight line to elbow it a bit. She said, no, put your hands back on his withers, he's out of here.
Yeah, and in a bit of a two-point with your hands down, and that's how you see people go cross-country and eventing.
Yeah,
well, when people go cross-country, you see that. They put their hands down. They bring them up if they're, you know, sitting and driving the horse forward to something. But when they're galloping across between the fences, their hands are just right down there quietly on the horse's neck. And there, it's a good place to have them because then if things go wrong, you've got that extra support, whether the horse stops and you need to have your hands to keep you from going forward. I always ride them with a neck strap or martingale, something that has a strap around the neck just in front of the withers, and stick a couple of fingers under it. They call it a yoke at the track, and that way, if it's loose enough, you can still steer a little bit, open your hand to the right or the left. But it keeps your hand in the right place, and if the horse bolts, bucks, or does anything unexpected, you've got a little bit more chance of staying there. So I encourage people
Stuart,
to do that.
This has been awesome advice. You know, you do clinics, and you've got this website coming up. What do you have coming up this year? Are you competing at all? Are you going to do Rolex this year? What do you have coming up?
No, I'm pretty much giving up on the upper level eventing. It's a little scary for my taste, and you got to be good at it. You got to be, to be competing in advance successfully. To be successful, it's good to have a bunch of different horses that you're doing it, and that's a whole different business model than what I do. I just the young ones, and. So yeah, I have horses that are going out to compete, but it's at novice training, preliminary, and then they get sold on. I've got the homebreds. I have a stallion that was off the track and Salute the Truth, and he's produced a lot of nice young ones. But I pretty much decided in this economy and the way things are going with racing that I'm no longer breeding my own mares. I'm breeding outside mares with him, and trying to shift the rest of the business more to the horses off the track. But for this project, we're working closely with Rerun. I did a clinic with them last year, and it was all horses that had been adopted from Rerun with their owners who would come back for the clinic. And they've said that the biggest problem is having riders who are prepared, you know, who will keep the horses going so that they can find them homes. They just sit there in a paddock. They're not going to be much fun to ride when people come try them. So they got a lot of great volunteers but not consistent riders, and a lot of the nonprofits are like that. So we're going to do a couple of things this summer. At our place, we're going to do retired racehorse training camp where people can bring their horses, and we haven't scheduled the dates yet. It'll be on the website.
Awesome.
Camp? Oh, my God.
Yeah, like a week camp. They have eventing camps, and they have, you know, this is retired racehorse training camp. So, you know, we'll have lessons each day.
I love it.
The horse, but then we'll do field trips to the track and field trips to training centers and learn how to gallop in an exercise saddle and some of that fun stuff. We also are, this will be more kind of later in the year, but setting up an apprenticeship program where if you're a good enough rider, you send a video and you qualify, Then you come for a, you know, a session like the camp. But then we try to place you with a nonprofit or a farm that needs riders. So for a young person who wants to become a professional, they then go out to, say, Rerun and get room and board, no pay, room and board, and then they get to ride as many horses a day as they have time for, and work with those horses for an extended period, and then we sort of coach them from here. So that's going to be, I think, exciting because it'll serve the nonprofits, but it'll also train a bunch of young professionals. And then the other cool thing, and I think this is the fall, too, we're looking at, this is all, you know, coming, it has to come after the 501c3 and the fundraising aspect, but there's a trainer challenge, similar to what they've done with Mustangs and unwanted horses and some other
there
places.
You go, Jennifer. Jennifer has been wanting to do that since we saw the Mustang makeover and had him on air.
Right. So you know, we're structuring it so that it'll be horses that have been, you know, that have raced with the, you know, certain, they get a certain number of months from the time they raced. And then you put them into the program, into the trainer challenge, and do videos and things before, and then come to a final judging where we have a panel of judges of people like Bruce Davidson or, you know, big-name people, and make it a big public event, have a professionals division and an amateurs division, and evaluate these horses and what their trainers have done with them, and compete that way. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun and high visibility stuff and very educational for people to sit there and hear what somebody like Bruce Davidson says and hear what the trainer says about what's happened with that horse over the last 6 months to get it to the point where it is.
I love
so
it. I love it.
Yeah.
And Stuart, what's the website? How can people keep up with you? We unfortunately are out of time, but we I'd love to keep up with you and keep find out more about these camps and everything. Give out your website.
Yep. RetiredRacehorseTraining.org.
RetiredRacehorseTraining.org. And we'll link to that on our Facebook page, and we'll put that up on our Horses in the Morning website, because I think what you're doing is very important. And, yeah, you say you're not a pioneer, but a lot of these ideas you've thrown up are the start of a bright future. So we do appreciate you coming on, and we do appreciate what you do for the retired racehorses.
Thank you very much.
All right, Stuart. Talk to you again soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well,
awesome.
This today's song is sponsored by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all their information from vaccines to worming to farriers to dentist visits together and easily accessible on your iPhone. It only costs $3.99, less than a cup of coffee, and you can track all the information about your horse in one easy, convenient space that's already attached to your hip. And you can find out more about it at pocketstable.com. I got an email from her the other day that said that she has seen a definite increase in sales
Good.
Of her application. So thank you, everybody, the listeners. If you haven't checked it out and downloaded it yet, go to pocketstable.com or look it up on your iPhone app.
I used mine yesterday. Hold on. I used mine yesterday because I couldn't remember which horses needed to get trimmed today, tomorrow, or in 2 weeks because they're all spaced out. And so I went to my Pocket Stable app, and I realized that, oh, that one's at 7 weeks. I better get him done. That one's at six. That one's good. 4 weeks. Nope, we can wait. No, it was really cool to have that right there on my iPhone. It's awesome. I recommend
and boy,
it.
You
Go
know,
ahead.
Whether you have one horse or five, you can't remember that stuff. So.
I know.
Well, today's song is brought to you by Templeton Thompson, and there's something special at the end of it. Templeton Thompson calls herself a hippie chick cowgirl. Well, at the end of Wishing You Wings, she does a reprise and explains what a hippie chick cowgirl is, and I think you're going to enjoy that. We'll be back with Lisa from the Chronicle Report, from the Chronicle of the Horse, after Templeton Thompson. Where you are, and where you wanna be.
hippie chick cowgirl philosophy. What it means to be a hippie chick cowgirl. It's a way of thinking, living, and loving. Dreaming and doing. Always reaching and never quitting. Jumping in with both feet without worrying too much if your boots get wet. Running wide open with the wind in your mane and having it made in the shade of the tallest tree. It's seeing through kind and loving eyes and knowing who you are clear down to your soul. It's sitting down when you need to rest and standing up for what you believe in. Following your heart, hanging on by your fingernails, and learning to let go. Seeing a beautiful blue sky beyond the clouds, even if it's raining, and always keeping a little sunshine in your pocket, saved up for that rainy day. Taking the trail less traveled, even if it's a bumpy road, and being in the here and now and right at home in the company of dreamers. Coloring way outside the lines. And it's always saying, now, bring on that horizon. I'm not afraid, because I know who I am. For I am a hippie chick cowgirl, proud to call this planet cowgirl home. Dream big, work hard, have faith. That's life on Planet Cowgirl.
Well, that's our friend Templeton Thompson, the hippie chick cowgirl, and I just thought everybody would appreciate what she said at the end there. I thought that was perfect for a Friday. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek with Jamie Jennings and Jennifer H., and we are sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. They can be found at kppusa.com. And next up, Jamie, boy, this morning has been rocking and rolling. We have Lisa with the Weekly Chronicle Report. Lisa, our past two guests have been fantastic, so no pressure.
I hope I can live up to that.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys this morning?
Good. We missed you last week, but Sarah, she chipped in, did a good job.
Good. I'm glad that she could fill in for me.
That's good. So what are we talking about today? We've been talking about off-the-track thoroughbreds and rescuing horses and all kinds of stuff.
Yep. Well, this morning I thought we would talk a little bit about our annual Horses and Sport issue, which came out last Monday. And this issue is something we're always really proud of. It's a ton of work, but it's totally worth it in the end. It's basically like our yearbook issue. It's where we name our horses of the year. It's where we have statistics from the year, horses that won Grand Prix, horses that were horses of the year. It's pretty cool. It's all in this one big issue.
And Lisa, have to say that you also named an Eventer of the Year, and the Eventer of the Year was the person that we picked as the best in breeches in the Hottest Horseman contest. Boy,
I would
Martin.
Like to say that didn't influence our decision at all.
I got to say that I was a little disappointed that in his list of yearly accomplishments, you guys did not say that he was best in breeches for Horses
in
the Morning.
I know, that is an important one, it's true.
I was shocked that it was not in his bio.
Yeah, you think he'd be pretty proud of that.
Yeah, anyway. So who won what? Can you give us a quick rundown on...
I can.
That'd be great.
Well, our overall horse of the year, which is the horse who ends up on the cover, and it's just a beautiful cover. We were just looking at it in our office here, was Lone Star, which is he's a hunter, actually. And that's sort of unusual for us. It's been a little while since we had a hunter on the cover. And especially in a WEG year, it was kind of a tough decision. But in the end, you know, we just decided that he had stood out so much, done such a beautiful job at everything he did this year, that we had to name him our horse of the year. So that is who is on our cover. And then for our annual Horseman of the Year, we also kind of took a step outside of what we usually might do. Usually it's just one person who's won some major event, or one year we named, you know, the U.S. show jumping team after they'd won gold. But this year we named the people who brought the WEG to the United States, because we thought, you know, when you look back at this year, that's probably going to be the biggest thing that happened for the United States in horse sports.
Awesome.
And so there were four people. It was Jane Bashir, Jamie Link, John Long, and John Nicholson, and they were sort of our group of horsemen of the year.
Wow,
so that was
cool.
Pretty cool. There's big articles about both of them in there, both Lone Star and our Horsemen of the Year. And I'd like to mention also that most of these articles are going to be available on our website eventually. The Lone Star article is already up there. And then the rest will come up in time. But also, if you're interested in having a copy of this magazine, if you're not a subscriber, which, I mean, it's pretty cool, you know, all these beautiful photos in here and all these stories, you're welcome to call our office, and also you can order, you know, just a single magazine.
Oh, you can do that with this one?
Yep, you can do that.
Okay.
But that's, you don't recommend that. You recommend everybody be a subscriber.
I would recommend that everyone be a subscriber. You know, it's the gift that just keeps giving all year long. You get all these beautiful magazines, and it's, yeah, it's totally worth it, I would say.
You know what's funny is I met a woman from at the thing this past time when we were in Philly at ADA, and she was the horse, the Western Horseman magazine. She was the owner,
yep,
or creator or something like that. And I said, oh my gosh, I love your magazine. I buy it on the newsstand. So, you know, basically every time I'm in the airport, I buy it. And she's,
yep,
like, you do what? And I said, yeah, well, I buy it on the newsstand. She's like, and you aren't a subscriber? I buy your magazine. You make more money off me that way. Just leave it alone.
It's true. It does pay to be a subscriber. You know, in terms of if you're just buying it, it's more expensive to just buy, you know, one issue than it is to be a subscriber.
I don't know why I do that. I just do it, and that's just the way that I do it. But I love the Chronicle, and yeah, that if you want to keep up on what is news in the world of performance horses, you need to be a subscriber to the Chronicle. No doubt about it.
Yeah,
and
I want to
say it's not just performance horses either, because you have a terrific article on your homepage right now that I read this morning. It's called The Budweiser Clydesdales Represent Far More Than a Clever Advertising Campaign.
Yep.
And it was a terrific article. It had some of the original commercials back from 1976 or somewhere around there.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It was fun to watch those old commercials. What a terrific article that was.
Yeah, those are really neat. We do a lot of fun stuff on the website now, too.
Corey does a great job, by the way. Can you congratulate her for me?
I think she does
a terrific job. She does these kind of specialty articles. I
yep.
think that's what I'm seeing. And, you know, she just does a great job with it.
Yeah, she's super. And we're actually extra proud of her this week because she won an award. The Alltech company gives out these A-plus awards for photos and articles that they find, you know, really exceptional. And Corey won an award for a beautiful photo that she took at the WEG. So we're extremely proud of her for that.
Wow, that's great. And I think you guys are also – I keep interrupting you here, but there's so much. I think you guys are also up for a Chronicle the Horse social media award like we are. So
yep,
we encourage everybody to go vote for that as well, and vote for the Chronicle and vote for Horses in the Morning. We're a different category, so we're not competing with each other.
Nope.
So was there any other of the awards that I interrupted you on?
Well, we have them for each individual sport, so I don't know if you guys want me to go through all of them or just talk a little bit about the process. It's kind of up to you, whatever you'd rather hear more about.
We have about 5 minutes left. Let's say, let's hear about eventing. That was we know who the rider was. Who was the? Did you give a horse
yep.
to?
We did. The rider was Boyd Martin, of course. And then the horse, this was another one. This year it seemed like we did a couple of unusual things. Our eventing horse of the year was Kambalda. And that is a horse who's ridden by Jenny Brannigan, and he's never even done a four-star.
Jenny.
So, yay, Jenny. She's awesome. So that was kind of unusual to name a horse our Horse of the Year who's never done a four-star, never represented the United States in an international competition.
Why pick him?
Because he was just awesome in every other thing he did. He won the Galway Downs inaugural three-star. He won the Fairhill CIC 2-star, the Jersey Fresh CCI 2-star, basically almost everything he entered, he won, was just so dominant, you know, at those other levels. And also we think he's a horse who's, you know, coming up through the levels and is hopefully going to eventually, you know, represent the United States and do a 4-star.
Well, I got to say that there's no rider that deserves it more. She is a sweetheart.
Her and Boyd both have co-hosted and still co-host on the Eventing Radio Show here at the Horse Radio Network, and they do a terrific job. She's just one of those people. I call her huggable. She's one of those huggable people, you know.
Yeah, and she's incredibly talented, and you know, she had such a rough go of it last year, and so it's really cool to see her bring this horse up. And she also has some really, really nice young horses too that are hopefully going to be moving it through the levels.
Well, let's make them buy the magazine to hear the rest of them.
All right, that sounds like a good plan.
And
we always
you can
like that.
Do that. Can they buy them like that individual issue right on your website, or do they have to call? How do they do that?
We are working to set up a system on the website. I'm not sure if it's up yet. So the fastest way to get one right now would probably be to call Lauren. She's our circulation manager, and her number is 540-687-6341.
Give it again, 540.
540-687-6341. And you can order individual copies, or you can become a subscriber, which is, of course, what we recommend.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us again. Sorry we were a little pushed on time. But it's been one of those mornings, so
I'll call to
Bell, will we talk to you again next week?
Yep, that sounds good. I will see you here next week.
All right, Lisa, thank you very much. That's the Chronicle of the Horse at Cron of Horse. I always get that wrong. It's cronofhorse.com. Yeah. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Well, that's cool, and you know, Boyd got it, but he didn't even mention it. He was the host on the Eventing Radio Show this week, and he didn't. Chris busted him a little bit on some special awards he's won this year.
Oh, really?
He was kind of embarrassed by that. Especially
seeing
we blindsided him.
Well, I got to tell you that when I set up the interview with him, I did not tell him what he had won. I said, we're going to call you have won something on the Horse Radio Network on Horses in the Morning. And will you talk about it with us? He's like, what I win? I'm like, you know what? I'll just tell you when we talk to you. It's like, yes, I guess I can just make it an announcement. And he was like, oh, okay, that sounds great. And then I told him, he was like, oh God. oh God. I mean, it was so bad that Helena was so scared to talk to Boyd that she was like, you have to call him, you have to do the whole thing, I can't talk to him because I'm too intimidated. And now I know why, because she was like, he's going to make fun of us for giving him that award. But it worked out great. Boyd Martin, 2010 Best in Breeches, you know, maybe he'll be up for it next year, who knows.
Well, speaking
not with that
of
attitude,
eventing and dressage, one of the premier regional associations is the Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association here in located in Kentucky and Ohio, that area. And we have a representative on from that. They have invited us actually to go out and visit one of our regular guests here on Horses in the Morning, Daniel Stewart, our resident sports psychologist, is going to be their keynote speaker and doing some work at their annual meeting in Louisville tomorrow. So Jennifer and I are going to head out there. We're going to spend a little time with the MSEDA. And we have Mary Fike on from there. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I'm great. You know, we're so excited, Jennifer and I, to come out there tomorrow. Daniel Stewart is one of our favorite people in the whole world. He's been on almost every one of our shows. He is, you guys are going to love having him there tomorrow.
Well, we're really looking forward to it. I was lucky enough to catch his presentation at the U.S. Eventing Association's meeting and was really impressed. What an energetic, engaging speaker. We're really lucky to have him.
Well, tell us just the Reader's Digest version of the MSEDA. It's one of the largest regional associations, isn't it? I know when we went to your meeting the last time, there were like hundreds of people there. It was a lot of people.
Well, it is. And I think it's one of the oldest combined training and dressage associations in the country. It was started back in the 1950s, and it's been around forever. We've got 5 states represented within our membership, anywhere from southern Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky. And we are both dressage and eventing oriented. And we try to do educational activities throughout the year, and then we host two horse shows each year in Lexington. So it's a really active group of people.
You know, Jamie, there are very few associations in this world. She understated that a little bit when we said we host a couple of horse shows every year. There's very few associations in the world that get to host horse shows where?
They're both at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Yeah, okay, so there
God.
We go. That's kind of a special thing to be able to say.
Yes, our geography helps us in that respect, for sure.
And they're really cool shows. They're fun to go out and watch, and you know, you can take in the rest of the Kentucky Horse Park while you're watching their event out there, and you can see them on the cross-country course. You know, they're not jumping quite the jumps that you'll see at Rolex, but they're jumping the ones right beside it. So it's fun to watch cross-country out there that day. It's really a lot of fun. You know, and I know the annual meeting's a big deal for you guys, and we're looking forward to seeing you there. Where can people learn more about the MSEBA, and is the annual meeting open for the public, or is it just for members?
It is open to the public, and we do have information posted on our website, which is www.mseda.org. And we do take registrations at the door, so if people want to just walk in, have a change of plans and want to join us, that's great. We'd love to see them. We're at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Louisville on Saturday. Yeah.
Crown Plaza Hotel in Louisville. I know that, I think that the keynote, that Daniel starts the day at 9 o'clock, is that right?
Yes, he does. Uh-huh.
Okay.
He will go through lunch, and then we'll take a lunch break, and then he has an afternoon session as well. So he will be with us all day.
Okay, great. And you're going to want to catch him when you're there for sure. Well, thank you so much, Mary, for joining us again. Jennifer and I are looking forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Well, good to see you, and thanks for having us.
All right. Thanks, Mary.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'm jealous. I want to go see
Jamie Stewart. You should be, but you're not too jealous because you're going out with your girlfriends. You're going to go camping with the bears. You're going to go buy new horses. You know, I don't think you're too jealous.
I am not buying another horse, Glenn. I do not need another horse. I am not buying another horse for me. It may just be for students.
Remember, Jamie, this is recorded.
Yes, remember that. And remember
I'm
something
not buying
else.
New horse.
On Monday morning, your husband is going to be on the show with us because it's our Valentine's show. It's the 14th on Monday. By the way, that's a reminder to any horse husbands who might be listening, or wives who are forgetting to buy something for their husband or boyfriend, is Monday is a special Valentine's Day, and we're having a special Valentine episode, aren't we?
We certainly are. I'm actually really, really excited about this. You know, we're gonna test relationships on Monday is what we're going to do. It's going to end up, it could potentially, you know, end up just being a big fight. It could be exciting, people. You're going to want to see this, or listen to it, because we are going to put the couples all against each other and pit them in a game against each other. And then we're going to challenge them to answer questions about each other. And we'll be pitting couple against couple, but also individual against individual. Of course, the guest will be Katie Murphy and her boyfriend, Roger. So a young, budding, blooming relationship. You've got Chad and I, who have been married, you know, about a year and still very much in the newlywed phase, if you heard him on the show yesterday. And then, you know, Glenn and Jennifer, who we like to call Glennifer, because they've been together so long. They just have one name, exactly, Glennifer. So I think it's going to be a great, exciting show on Monday. We'll see what happens.
A little newlywed game here.
Yeah.
A little newlywed game, and we're trying to get a special MC host for the show. We're working on that right now, so we're hoping to put that together, and it should be a lot of fun, and I am sure it's going to be embarrassing, most of all for probably me, because I can't remember what happened yesterday. That's about it. Let's wrap it up. What a show today. Boy, it was an easy show for hosts today because the guests were terrific. So
oh, it
what
sure
an easy
was.
Show. Yeah, it was terrific. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. They're all coming out right now. The eventing show, as I talked about, Stable Scoop with Jennifer this week. Jennifer was on Stable Scoop with Alina, and it was our Ask the Vet show. They had some very interesting conversation about health topics and all the other shows that are coming out right now. You can also follow us on Facebook, as we said. Just search for Horses in the Morning, and I'm happy to announce, you ready to clap, everybody? We went over 1,500.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay! That's
we went
huge.
Over
1,500. That's huge.
Yeah. We picked up 50 in the last day, I think, thanks to the names of the barns, the little contest that we did with EasySignsOnline.com. So we also
want
to thank Kentucky Performance Products for sponsoring today's show. And it's your turn to talk.
Okay, you know, I just wanted to, I wanted to let you guys know, too, that I have to follow up the story of when I brought my horse in on Tuesday and I thought his leg was broken because he was limping so incredibly bad, and everybody goes, oh, it's an abscess. And I'm like, well, cooler heads prevailed, and I thought it was, too, but you still have that minute of panic. Well, my farrier came out yesterday. She put the hoof testers on him. And he's been actually looking a lot better. She put the hoof testers on him, nothing. She's like, I don't know. I don't think it's in his foot. I said, the way he was limping, I think it was in his foot. I said, well, go ahead and reset him anyway. He's at 6 weeks. So she reset him, and I hear her from across the barn go, I found it!
Oh, no.
I ran over. She had taken the hoof knife to trim the hoof, and she said that about a quart of bloody pus shot 6 feet across the stall. I love it. I love it. It's just so satisfying to pop that sucker and have it drain. So he's now got some stuff packed up in there, and he is 100% sound now. So thanks to everybody who freaked out. He told me not to freak out and that it was going to be fine.
And
so,
have a good lunch,
everybody. Yeah, exactly. Enjoy. Glenn, my goal is to make you lose weight one way or the other, and I have to talk about bloody pus. That's how I'm going to do it. If you miss the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back Monday morning, Valentine's Day at 9 a.m. with a look at our relationships. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody.